It's the Windy City Cubs podcast. We release it every Monday evening. Subscribe to the Windy City podcast for your Cubs pod, your Bears pod, your Bulls pod, and the big time interviews that we get. If you missed Shaquille O'Neal or Dick Vitale or Mallory Wegeman, who I uploaded yesterday, a Paralympic athlete, I recommend that podcast to the end of the earth. Mallory is so incredibly inspirational. Check it out. She's got a book out. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal human being. And it really was an absolute pleasure to talk to her. Now, a pleasure to hear that fans are going to be allowed into Wrigley Field, Guaranteed Rate Field. We'll have a little Cubs Sox rivalry going on this summer. It's going to be awesome. Baseball is indeed back. Cubs are playing great ball in spring training. We'll get into a bunch of that with Brian Beto and Jordan Bernfield coming up. Some good numbers out of the desert. That's impressive. And I'm guessing that we'll get into this big time as far as people going to baseball games. But my take is that people are going to go and wanting to go and have missed it and might even go in bad weather. 8,000 plus are going to be allowed in Wrigley. Same thing with Guaranteed Rate Field to keep people safe. Those seats, I'm guessing, it ain't going to be 3,000 showing up. I think they'll fill up the 8, but we'll have to obviously wait and see. DeWinnie City Podcast, a reminder, brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offering the precision engineered tools for your family jewels. The Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. It also includes the Crop Preserver, which is an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. I have tried this. It is absolutely fantastic. You already put deodorant on your armpits, right? Why aren't you putting deodorant on one of the smelliest or the smelliest part of your body? And yes, it's not a great smelling place down there, as you well know. The Lawnmower 3.0 kit is sweet. You get boxers. You get the incredible trimmer with the LED light. It's waterproof. You can use it in the shower. You want to do this. And if you do it through us, you get 20% off. You get free shipping. Put in the code FANSIDED20, FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. On that note, let's get into it. The Windy City Cubs podcast. Baseball fans back. Cubs spring training. They're playing good baseball. Let's go.
Showtime.
Two out. A run over. The Cubs have scored a run in each of the last three innings. There goes Dunston. Big chopper into the hole. Base hit to left field. In comes Jackson. Dunston to third. 4-2 Chicago.
Baseball fans are back. This is exciting. Brian Beto, Jordan Bernfield, the Windy City Cubs podcast. Beto, we're going to start with you today because, I mean, the Cubs are, what, 5-2 as we tape this podcast. Nico Hoerner's hitting .692. I know you don't care about batting average, so let's go to his OPS. It's 1,868. OPS for Wilson Contreras, 1,870. Batting average for old school Carm, .571. Javi Baez knocking the cover off the ball. And the Cubs, the pitching. Look at Jake throwing multiple scoreless innings. This team's coming together. Jock Peterson, offseason acquisition, the best in baseball. Guy's hitting .364 with an OPS of .1409. This team's already in the World Series, Beto.
Yeah, like a week ago, I had to remind myself and others never to let spring training results dictate what's going to actually happen once we turn the month over to April. But now that all of the things that have happened are in our favor, I'm going to say there is a direct correlation to the first week of spring training statistics to what actually will happen over 162 games and change. Got to think of how many games would actually go through the World Series. That will impact those numbers for the rest of the year. So Jock for MVP, Nico, Clearly, I don't know if he's rookie eligible yet, but if so, rookie of the year. Jake, comeback player of the year. Zach Davies, two scoreless today. Cy Young, just over you. So all these things are happening. So the Cubs are back. They're better than the Dodgers and the Padres. They won the offseason. We had this discussion last week. All we needed was some spring training games to validate that.
See, people think that, or they even know that Beto is playing around here, but the truth is that you're dead serious. Jordan, are you in? Are you all?
I mean, Scott McClain would agree with you, right? Because
Scott McClain,
like 20 years ago, that hit like 12 bombs in spring training.
That guy has March banners hanging up in his house for sure.
Yes, I mean, Brian LeHair somewhere also agrees with you. I recall, had a couple of monster spring training.
Roosevelt Brown was – he had to have good marches back in the day.
I loved Rosie Brown. I did not love Brian LeHair. That wasn't my guy.
He was an all-star.
You didn't like Brian LeHair? Why? Was there like a bad encounter?
He's just a bad Cub first baseman, awful. Stiff.
He was mad because he came right after we had Grace and then Derek Lee. We were kind of spoiled. And I guess there was a little bit of a break with a Randall Simon, Eric Karros, Aesop Choi era.
Don't forget Julio Zuleta, Beto.
Oh,
Julio Zuleta, the full like head turtleneck, whatever that was called. He wore it better than anyone I've seen. But I think that's just kind of what you're a little upset because LeHair came after those guys and just didn't live up to them.
I straight loved Julio Zuleta. That is so. That is such a good name. Was I the only one that called him Who's Zooming Who? I was the only one? Okay. Because every time he came to the batter's box, I'd be like, Who's Zooming Who? Beto Batu. And he would just, and Zuleta would either, it was the dude, he was the guy, he was Joe Boo or whatever his name was from Major League, right? What? Who?
Yes.
Serrano?
Oh, no, Joe Boo was the doll. You're talking about Pedro Serrano.
Pedro Serrano. That, yes. I mean, they were the same person. By the way, you're now making me look up spring training statistics. Kyle Schwarber is hitting .333 with OPS of.
Yeah, but Jock's got a WAR above him right now, right? Didn't you say yourself?
Did they calculate spring war? I didn't know they did spring war. Do they do spring war? It's amazing.
I have no idea. I'm kidding. I hope anyone who listens knows that I'm kidding.
Schwarbs has got one bomb. How many bombs does our guy?
Jock's got two.
There we go. Jock.
Improvement.
Six RBIs for Jock. How many for you, Schwarbs? Only two. Three times as many RBIs. Jock.
Right. Didn't I see that John Lester's hurt, unfortunately? So.
Yeah.
Well.
I think he had a thyroid issue, right? I want to say.
Yeah, that's
which
actually.
Is obviously a huge bummer.
Yeah, that's actually a serious thing. So the big news, by the way, today, y'all, for reals, is Lori Lightfoot's out there throwing pitches at Wrigley Field. She's out there throwing pitches at Guaranteed Rate Field. By the way, the White Sox are 1-5. So an 8,000 fan.
The season, it's over.
they're so overrated. It's unbelievable. They have no talent on the South Side. team's going to win 60 games.
Plus, they had to win this year or they'll never win. None of their talent's young. It's all on expiring deals. They're in big trouble if they don't win this year.
There's no doubt. Lucas Giolito the guy's going to retire at the end of the year. But the point is that 8,000 fans are going to be allowed in as we start the season. Level of excitement from you guys?
I mean, I would say that it's exciting that we've gotten to this point in Chicago, right? I mean, the positivity rate is low, and just to have fans in the park will make things seem more normal. I mean, I think that the way the city and the state have operated has definitely been with more of a, you know, conservative bend in terms of, like, whether to let people venture out into normalcy to keep the numbers as low as possible. So the fact that they feel okay with this and that they're, you know, giving this stamp of approval, guys, I think is a really good sign, right? I mean, the vaccinations seem to be coming faster and faster now. And, I think that for those who just can't live without it, you know, if you can get to a game in April or May and sit outside, and I'm sure that people will, you know, be required to wear masks and be distant and whatnot, but just to have something a little more normal back. Just to hear people cheering or booing at a ball game will be good. And it was very odd last year when you'd see a home run hit, you just hear it clang around bleachers with nobody sitting.
Yeah, that was straight pandemic awful. By the way, Lori Lightfoot, solid jog out of the dugout by Lightfoot. Looked good headed out to the mound. And I thought they did a nice job of balancing. Like, first they show Guarantee Rate, then they show Wrigley. Now she's throwing the pitch first from Wrigley. Like, they did as best as they could to honor both teams. And Lightfoot, not bad form for a Lori Lightfoot. I was a little bit amazed. Beto, did you see it?
I did. It was pretty solid. It wasn't like George Bush in a one level, like, paint the outside corner. But, I don't know anything will compare to that. But it was obviously a lot better than – you know, we saw from like a Fauci last year at Nats Park. So somewhere in between, I'm actually not surprised. I feel like Lightfoot can sling it a little bit.
Lightfoot versus Trump throwing a baseball. It's Lightfoot all day.
Lightfoot. I mean, Lightfoot might be able to throw from behind the plate to second base.
No way.
On like one bounce.
No way.
And
pop time from catcher to home? She's got a solid.
You don't
pop
think
time.
On one bounce she could throw from home to second?
Has
some air behind that throw.
I think she could do it without even getting to her feet, like Benito Santiago, just from the crouch, zinging it all the way
Yadi
to second.
Molina, just fling it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on, I'm pulling. I got to pull up the throw and just. Did she really have more?
It looked like it had some air under it.
I feel like it'd be.
I'm exaggerating a little. It's hyperbole. It's radio. It's podcast.
She can't get it all the way to second base. But Trump would literally
95 miles an hour.
I think Trump's athletic ability, even though I guess he can golf somewhat okay, is zero. There's no way that guy is throwing the ball down to second base.
No.
Yeah.
He would need. You'd probably have to put the mound. You'd have to put the rubber halfway between the actual mound and home plate. He might get it there.
And if people think
all I know is that, Carm, you said right before we went on air, I'm not super prepared for this podcast topic-wise, and I don't agree. I mean, we are just firing in all cylinders. You had no idea it was going to go in this direction.
I did it. I just was trying to like lower the bar on expectations here that we were going to celebrate the fact that the Cubs have already won the World Series and that Lightfoot versus Trump wasn't on my radar when we started here, but it feels good that we've gotten there. I for real am interested in, I don't know, because I read something today about how it's only going to be like one person you can move your tickets to another. So I don't even know if StubHub is going to exist. But if it does, let's just say that it will exist. The secondary market is out there. Do we think that ticket prices are going to be, if you're going secondary market, they're going to be high because there's huge demand?
Yes.
You do. You guys do.
Yeah, I do. But I'm actually, this is one of the times I'm being kind of a jerk here that I would defer to your judgment because you're the secondary market guy.
I am, but I have no. I mean, I'm not the secondary market guy off a pandemic with 8,000 seats. Like, I have no idea.
No, it is.
Right. So what? But I. So yeah. I don't.
I really don't know. I don't know how to answer that. Like, I know that that's like the worst answer to give in one of these things. But like, this is so unprecedented. I mean, on the one hand, I would think that there are some people that want to go so badly that they would pay over face for tickets. But on the other hand, there is a significant population of people in the Chicago area that in a normal setting would definitely go. But right now it's like, well, have they been vaccinated? Are they not feeling ready yet? Do they not, you know, like, are they ready for such an event like that? You know, I just feel like I have no feel for how this is going to be.
So I think I'm the only one in here. I'm watching the Lightfoot video right now. You can't tell because they clip it. I don't think she.
Maybe it's a fake video. I'm just telling you from what I saw, it looked like she had some air under that throw. One hop to second.
It's not a bad motion, and she's got the follow through.
Yes.
She could get it to second. I'll give you that. I think it's more than one bounce. Lightfoot, great job. And by the way, I saw her coming out of a restaurant like 4 months ago, and I think, if memory serves, I screamed out at her, Lightfoot, or at least I like pointed at her or something. And I was like, I was into it. Like I was, you know, fully supporting Lightfoot. Like I like tough Lightfoot. I got a little bit of a humor out of the whole thing. And she looked at me in like utter horror to be recognized coming out of this restaurant. And I'm like, come on. I mean, you're the mayor. You're going to get recognized. Car's on your team. I'm supporting you, Lightfoot. I know it's tough times right now with the pandemic. There's no easy answers. People are mad at you left and right, but don't worry. Car's got your back. I got it.
But so you showed your support by yelling her name at her when you were in close proximity.
Lightfoot! I mean, I would kill for somebody to yell, Carmen! That's
not threatening at all.
That's affection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't tell me that this is the first time a girl looked at you awkwardly for calling her.
Excellent point. Very, very solid point. But so here, a lot of left turns on this podcast today. But so I have had Cubs season tickets going back to, I think, 2011 now. And I've sat in my seats, I think, in one game in the entire 10 years. I sell them off to all my rich friends. But so this year, your options were either pay the full freight and then you'll be able to go to games, or you could give a 10% deposit and basically hold the tickets until next year. If you gave no deposit, you were out.
You're out.
So I did the 10% deposit, could kick the can down the road. The Cubs are going to be terrible. I lost one major partner. We're looking for people to come in on the seats. I didn't have the money to do it anyway. So here, I'll kick the tickets down the road. But so I'm wondering, like, did most people, because Cubs tickets are expensive, like, did most people give the full freight and pay for a whole year of seats not knowing at all, and then they're going to use all the tickets, so none of the tickets are going to get to the fans, and there's going to be that limited amount of seats because season ticket holders, I guess, in theory, are keeping them and not reselling? I don't know, because these are the true diehard of all the diehards. I don't know, like, did they buy them, the ones that went all the way in on an investment thing, and they're looking to sell them? Like, the whole thing's interesting to me, because I'm not sure what percentage of Cubs season ticket holders actually just went for the deposit versus paying the whole thing, which I thought it was like a no-brainer. You put down the deposit, you keep the seats till next year, and don't go to baseball games in a pandemic when the team's going to be 500 at best. But then again, there's the spring training record, and they're on the way to the World Series. So maybe I was wrong.
I was going to say, you did that before the spring training record.
Right, right. Well, you had to make your decision early.
So now everybody's all in. They saw 5-2 in spring training. They're like, plunking down the money. Here's my money, World Series.
Doesn't the Burnfield family have seats? I mean, do you know if you're – was there a full commitment from Burnfield Central?
You know, I'm not sure. I was thinking about this as you were asking the questions, because I think they're good questions. I'm not even sure what the Burnfield representatives who have tickets are doing. All I know is, for me, you know, like, I don't see a scenario where I'm going to get to go to a lot of games this year anyway. So, like, you know, I'm not sure. I really think it's going to come down to having the ability to, you know, either feel comfortable going without a vaccine, or being vaccinated and feeling like, you know, I don't really have a lot of risk factor at this point. So, you know, why not go to some baseball games? You know what I mean? I think people are going to have split opinions on what they're comfortable doing, but I think that's what it's going to come down to this year. Cause I do think that there's some people, vaccine or not, that are just like, not, you know, they don't feel as much of a worry or a risk for doing it, and so they're going to go. And some people might feel much more worried about it and choose not to go. And then there's going to be some people who are already vaccinated. I mean, listen, if the country is really going to be fully vaccinated from, you know, an adult standpoint by the end of May, as was suggested by the White House last week, then I would think that by June, like, unless you guys think I'm crazy here, I feel like by June, if the adult population of the country is by and large vaccinated, they're going to have way more than 8,000 people in the crowd by the time they have a big homestand in June.
I
agree.
I mean,
you on the spot, over under 42,000 fans on November 2nd, Game 7 of the World Series at Wrigley Field.
Ooh,
do you think there's more or less?
No, I think, how many, 42?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's just under. I think they're with suites and whatnot. It's like 41-5.
Well, they do have to add extra media seating for the World Series.
Right.
So, right, doesn't that bring down a few seats?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean,
these are all questions that will have to be answered over the next several months.
This is fascinating. I do think, to Jordan, to your point, that I think there's like 3% of people that wouldn't go to a baseball game now. I think everyone is dying to go, and the positivity rate is 2.5%. Everyone's getting vaccinated. People are going to want to go to baseball games. Like, you walk around the city right now, and you look into restaurants. A lot of them are crowded. They're sitting in there, and they're not wearing masks. They're not even. I'm like, what are you guys doing? But they're doing it. And so, like, to go to a baseball game and sit outside, I think it's a very, very, very small percentage who wouldn't do it.
I agree, but I think it's enough of a percentage of people that it might affect early attendance. You know what I mean? Like, I think that there is enough of a percentage of people that might be sort of like how, like, when the vaccine rollout began, right? Like, people were saying, well, I don't want to be the first one to get it. It feels like that line of thinking is mostly over, and everyone that is getting an appointment is taking the appointment, which is great. But, like, I feel like there's going to be some people, and I don't mean even just for baseball specifically, but just, like, bigger events are going to go, well, I want to see, like, how this goes first, and then if I feel like it's safe to go, I'm all in. So I don't think it's 3%. And I think, like, if you're a team like the Cubs, which – To make this a baseball point, like, the whole offseason, basically what they told you was, we traded you Darvish because we needed money, because no one walked in the gates last year at Wrigley Field. And we need fans to have the money to invest in the team. So the Cubs, if that's their position, then they must be acutely aware of what to expect from a fan perspective. And I don't think it's 3%. Like, I get what you're saying. I think it's definitely way fewer than 50% for sure. But, like, there is still a population of people in and around the city that would otherwise definitely go to games that are probably waiting this out just to see what happens. And that will affect their bottom line, so to speak, beyond the fact that they, one, can't fill the stadium, but two, you know, how many people are really going to be ready to go to every game? And, like, I know that people say, like, oh, it's the Cubs, people are going to want to go. Like, yes and no, right? Like, in April and May in a normal year, there's definitely a lot of empty seats when it's cold. Like, in June, it's chock full of people. But in April and May, if they're not great, which we expect that they're not going to be, despite their incredible spring training start, you know, I mean, I think it's going to be a really interesting experiment to see what kind of crowd they get early on.
Brian, jump in here, but, like, to me, there is like a little bit of a difference to this April than other Aprils, because you just haven't been. Like, oh my God, it's open. I don't care that it's 52 degrees and I am, or 43 degrees and the wind's kicking. I'm in. I want to go that bad. I think that's going to be right there for a ton of Cub fans.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see, you know, both sides here. I think there'll still be some apprehension from some folks, but you also got to take into account as they add more seats. I don't know if there's going to be like a walk-up scenario or how much the season tickets encompass or pre-sales encompass to your point, Mark. But, I mean, even think of just that general area of, you know, I know there's a lot of young families around there nowadays, but there's still a lot of young mid-20s. Folks there too that are probably a little bit more, I don't want to say like liberal, but they're more as far as going out. So they might be, you know, willing to walk up. And like we talked about in our podcast a couple of weeks ago, where we were like, hey, remember back when they were terrible and we could just go to a Cubs Marlins Tuesday night game and just stroll up the day of? You might see more of that. If they do like the rooftop sitch, I think you might see more people. Like, people were dying to take advantage of that last year, even when that was open. So we'll see. I'm just curious to see how quickly they, and this will obviously all be on the numbers and the rates and stuff in the city and the vaccination rollout and whatnot, but how quickly they'll amp that 8,000 up to a much more. But either way, I'm just like, it sounds like, I mean, they have to say this, but it really sounds genuine that the players and everything else is, they're really excited to at least have something. They've even talked about, even in Arizona, as lackadaisical as a crowd that is, it's nice to have some people spectating lots.
I mean, I just got a vision as you were talking that April 1, the Pittsburgh Pirates at Wrigley Field, and Bernie's is packed, Moran's is packed. People are getting dates for after the game. All sorts of good stuff is happening around Wrigley for that Pirates series. And the Brewers come calling the 5th, 6th, and 7th, 6:40 first pitch on a Monday night. Wrigleyville is just bumping. Sluggers is I mean, the batting cages are going. Anybody with me?
I mean, I think
I mean, they, I don't know. We'll see. I will not be there.
Bars and restaurants are open at 50% now, right? So,
yeah,
you know. That could, you could see that kind of a spectacle, but I don't know. I don't see, like, I think that people are excited to do stuff again, but I think that it's going to be slower than you think. Like, I don't think it's going to be, I mean, I think definitely people want to go back, but I don't see this being something where it's just like people are just, you know, revved up to sit in 42 degrees, you know, with a mask on for opening day just because they can, right? Like, I don't feel like, I feel like people are just more accustomed to being home now. So, but yeah, I mean, obviously if by June or July, you know, it's, we're at a point of vaccination level and the weather's great, I feel like, yeah, it'd be awesome to see Wrigley filled again. I mean, I can't wait for that day.
Best night or afternoon that ever happened to you at a bar at Wrigley. I'll start it off.
Oof.
I don't know if anything good jumps out here. I mean, the highlight of my life around anything Cub related happened at the Cubs convention. I'll save that for a different podcast. But Game 5, 2003, Atlanta, after the game, Wrigleyville on a Sunday night, it was a religious experience. Nothing had ever felt like they were going to win the World Series more than it felt like they were going to win the World Series that night. And I remember, like, some DJ at Slugger say, like, the Cubs are going to win the World Series. And the reverb was going. And I mean, I felt it in my bones. And then they didn't. But I, in the moment, I remember, like, my eyes being closed, like, and perhaps, you know, a couple of libations in, I'm like, this is it. This is this. We've got Wood. We've got Pryor. We've got Dusty. In Dusty, we trusty. I love you, Kenny Lofton. Sammy, you're the man. You know, this is it. I love you, Eric Karros. Give me a Mark Grudzolanik. Alex Gonzalez, you're not going to boot a ground ball, and they're going to blame it on some weirdo in the crowd. All that wasn't on the table at that point. I felt it. The Cubs were going to win the damn World Series. Game 5, 2003. Woody did it. Greatest one of the greatest moments in Cub history. Sluggers. Can anybody top that, please?
No. I remember I have, like, two things. The first two things that jumped out were, like, well, I went to one of the World Series games, but it was the one that got destroyed, Game 4. So, like, that experience is the top because they ended up winning anyway, so it didn't matter. They lost that game. But, like, the actual bar scene, I want to say probably the most fun I had, it wasn't a postseason game, but the 07 Aramis Ramirez walk-off home run off Francisco Cordero and the Brewers to left field. It's back when the Cubs were chasing the Brewers, the Cubs were starting to turn around their season. That was an absolute blast. Like, that place, it was a Friday afternoon, and just every bar was just hopping. So that stands out. It was a hot July afternoon. I actually remember I interned at ESPN 1000 that night, so I apologize for all those ESPN 1000 bosses that I went in. But I may have went and showed up to work in a state that was probably not below the legal limit. So I'll say that. Not that I was driving.
That's awesome.
I was not driving.
You were probably happy.
But I was in a great mood. I showed up in my authentic Felix PA jersey, and everyone had a wonderful time. So that's probably my top. I think my least, and this is the other one that stood out, and my wife remembers this because I joke about it all the time, but in 08, so game two in 08, we go to, I can't remember where we even were. I don't know if it was like Cubby Bear. I just started dating my girlfriend, who is now my wife. So I was like still trying to get in well. We went out with her sister and, you know, and all this and that. And like by like the first inning, something like non-drinking related, my wife gets like really sick to the point where she's like passing out and like everyone's like freaking out. And then I look up at the TV and the Cubs are booting the ball all the way around the infield. If you remember, that was the game where like Thurio, DeRosa, like Lee, they all had errors in the first inning. And I just remember like trying so hard to pretend to care about the potential faint situation. But in reality, all I could think about is the Cubs are booting the ball around the infield. So that's the other thing that stands out the most. So,
oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, so, I do remember.
March, remember, we watched one in 07. Sorry to cut you off, but we watched the Zambrano pull for Carlos Marmol, game one in 07. I was with you watching
that.
When they pulled him, and then the Cubs blew it. And they didn't win a game that series.
I do remember that. And I also remember in 07 when they were in the first round playoff series against Arizona, I flew into town from Syracuse just to go to the game. For game three, they lost the first two. But obviously, when I scheduled the flight, I did not anticipate that they were going to be on the verge of being swept. And so I get there for game three. Now, I, like, fly in day of. You know, my dad picks me up at the airport. I forget. I think we went to Salt and Pepper before the game.
Great one.
RIP Salt and Pepper, great place. And I had a couple of PBRs because that was, like, one of the, like, three beers they served. And I'm feeling pretty good. And we walk into Wrigley Field. And, like, you know, like at that time, you remember, they didn't have the same process for taking tickets. It took forever to get in. And we sit down. And the first pitch of the game is a home run. And they're losing.
For that. Rich Hill served it up. Who was it, Eric Burns?
I don't remember. It could have been Eric Burns. I don't know.
I'm pulling it up. Keep going. 2007 game three.
Ring a bell? I don't know. So like, I had just, you know, I was recently 21. Like, I really didn't drink in front of my dad very much. They're losing 1-0 literally within 5 seconds of sitting at this game. And then I just remember having, like, multiple beers on a Jeff Bernfield tab while they were getting swept. And we walked out of the park, and I'm pretty sure Cap was broadcasting from, like, a trailer outside of Wrigley Field. And a fairly inebriated me went and watched some of his postgame, where I think that was when we had the famous caller Ken, who Cap basically had to fall off the ledge. Yes, in that postgame show. But I remember listening to that. While, you know, after the game, after having probably, you know, several beers, because that game sucked, and then they got swept and they lost.
So Beto is very impressive. It was, you said Chris Young, or did you say Eric Burns? It was Chris Young.
I said Eric Burns.
Okay.
I went with the Chris Young, but yeah, it was burned good, in my brain.
Good job, yeah. Jordan. Burns hit one in that game too. He hit it off of Carlos Marmol in the sixth. Chris Young hit his second of the series off Rich Hill the first with nobody on and no outs to left field, as Jordan just said, leading off the ball. He did strike out three times in that game. By the way, Alf.
That's the most Chris Young game
that
of all
I remember
time.
That. It is sick that I remember that.
What is really disgusting.
It's why you're doing this podcast right now.
Yeah.
In that game, Alf went 0-4.
I think Alf went 0-4 in every postseason game.
He hit 143 for the postseason that year. Way to go, Alf.
I think everyone was 0-4 in every game in an 07 and 08 because they won zero games and just got absolutely blasted. So
I hate this team. I love this team. I hate this team. I love this team. That's the beauty of it. Jason Kendall had the lone RBI in that ball game. Cubs were 0-9 with runners in scoring position. God, I love box scores. They're so good. All right. One to wrap up here. Real Cub topic. Has Nico Hoerner won the second base job? Beto, you wanted him to start a Triple-A. Have you changed your opinion?
Well, I just told you that spring training results.
Right.
It's a performance. So I'm ready to crown him the next Ryan Sandberg. But no, I don't know. I have read somewhere that sometimes, like, guys, Nico's a good fastball hitter. and guys do groove a lot. I'm not sure if all of his hits are come on fastballs, like, but I think he's obviously shown a lot. It's hard, not saying that this is going to dictate that he's going to be this good, but it's certainly better than him not performing well. Like, he's hitting rockets all over the field. He hit a bomb the other day. I know they literally just picked up Eric Sogard, even after Nico got on this tear, so I'm curious what happens there. I still like David Bodie, so I still think there's a lot. He's lacked so many minor league plate appearances, but he's a really good defender. He gets bat to ball, which is obviously what we know the Cubs need. So I don't know. I don't think he's got it locked up by any stretch. They still have too many weeks of games, and they just signed a vet. But he's certainly doing his best to, like, he's doing everything in his control to earn the job, I guess.
Jordan, any thoughts on Nico or PJ Higgins or Nick Martini?
Yeah, no, I agree with you about Nico. The other thing I would say too is that Nico, I think that they would like him to win the job. I get what you're saying about Sogard, but, you know, I think that they would like for Nico to win the job because it would solidify things. But I think even if he does win the job, I mean, they paid David Bodie a multi-year contract. You're going to see David Bodie. And I think that because David Ross, you know, played for Madden and sort of starts his managerial career coming off of Joe Madden and his style, and Ross being as aware of it as he was, you know, even if Nico wins the job, you're still looking at a scenario where Bodie's going to get plenty of playing time. You know what I mean? So, like, I think that the options are open here where, like, if Nico continues to hit the way that he's hit, and I also think, like, spring training, as I know we were, you know, joking about it, but, like, the truth of the matter is, if you're a good fastball hitter, you can have an enormous spring training. And, like, we know Nico Hoerner can hit a fastball, and he's getting a lot of fastballs early in spring training, and he's smoking them, which is great. But we know, too, that when they get to the regular season, he's not going to be getting, you know, grooved fastballs all the time that he can just pummel out of the park. So, you know, I think that if he continues to hit, that I'm sure they would like for him to win the job for a multitude of reasons. But I still think, you know, unless Hoerner is just so good, you're going to get plenty of David Bodie. He's going to get into the games, whether it's at second, whether it's at third, and they put Bryant in the outfield or whatever. But I just think, like, both guys are going to play basically regardless. So, you know, Hoerner is doing everything that he can, which he deserves credit for. But I don't know that we know anything about whether he's going to win the job yet.
Gentlemen, great time as always. As we wrap up here, last night going to bed, I had the Marquee Sports Network on, and they were replaying the first ever night game, which after the rainout, it turned into the Mets. And I'm watching Wally Backman. This is a little bit before both your times, but maybe you remember. I'm sure you know all these names. I'm watching Wally Backman. I'm watching Sean Dunstan with so much enthusiasm. A young Mark.
My favorite.
I love Sean Dunstan. A young Mark Grace in 88. The Hawk, Andre Dawson, coming through with key hits. Vin Scully was on the call.
Oh my God, awesome.
It was amazing. It was so much fun to watch. And, like, the crowd was acting like they were winning the World Series. They were so into it. The whole thing was,
so this was the game that actually counted then? So the night after?
The night
8-9-88? Or was it the game that?
It was, I guess it was 8-9-88, the first actual night game. And so Vance Law was making unbelievable plays at third base. I was having a lot of fun watching this. It was great. And the Cubs were, you had Goose Gossage was on the mound trying to close it out. Zim's managing. It's the most I've ever appreciated the Marquee Sports Network to this point. That and
by
off
the way, so the fact that the three of us basically, like, we could reference 8888 so quickly and seamlessly reminds me that my wife has a friend who was born on 8888. And
that's
first time
cool.
That this came up in conversation with her, mind you, she is not from Chicago. I was like, oh, your birthday is 8888? First night game at Wrigley Field. And she just looked at me and was like, what? I was like, yeah, first night game ever at Wrigley Field.
That's
you don't
awesome.
Know this? Yeah. No idea. No register.
That's on her. Like, how do you not know that you were born on the first night game at Wrigley Field? Like, what have you been doing with your life?
This is a thing you should know.
I tell Deanna to defriend her immediately, not only on social media, but in real life as well.
I think it's deserved, frankly.
I'm looking at the box score. Dunston was leading off that night for the Cubbies, 2-for-5, hitting .267 with a base percentage of
287.
284.
Because he never walked.
I loved him. God, did I love him.
I wore number 12 all the way through high school for that guy. So he was my favorite.
There was this guy in left field that night who went 3-for-4, was hitting .311 with an on-base percentage of .348. Who could have stayed in left field for a while. His name was Rafael Palmeiro, but we just had to trade that guy because of Mark Grace. God, I hate the Cubs. Okay.
Mitch. He never took steroids, too. Just ask him.
Whatever. That's him and the rest of them. By the way, also scoring a run in that game was our good friend Darren Jackson, who I loved working with the last couple of years. DJ comes flying. I'm like, there's Darren Jackson. This is adorable. Jerry Mumphrey was a pinch hitter in the game. All right.
Those games are fun, though. I've watched a few of those classic games throw you back. There's been some in the 90s that have been like the random ones. Like, we've all seen the same ones, like Kerrywood 20 strikeout game or like things like that stand out. But those like kind of random ones have been pretty fun to watch and have out in the background.
Yeah, and Mitch Webster was out there who went 0-for-4, and he was only on the team because Dave Martinez and Ryan Sandberg had a little situation, and Dave had to leave, which is a great story that I probably shouldn't have brought up, but I did anyway. quickly shipped off for Mitch Webster. Go Cubs, go. Gentlemen, it's been fun. DeWinnie City Cubs podcast, we record it on Mondays, put it out on Monday nights. Subscribe, like, follow. We love you, and we thank you to all our listeners last week. Gentlemen, you should know, Jordan Burnfield, that we had listeners from the U.S., India, Australia, Austria, Canada, and the United Kingdom last week. So that's that we love our U.S. listeners, but India, Australia, Austria, Canada, and the U.K., we especially love you. Thank you for listening to us and learning about
it. Yeah, the U.K., apparently they were getting sick of Meghan and Harry coverage.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, but of our foreigners, we have 6 listeners in India. I mean, that's kind of a big hit. If you hit us up, if you're listening in the U.S. and or anywhere else, we will send you a DeWinnie City T-shirt. So tweet at yours truly at the Carm or at Jordan Burnfield or at B_Beto, and we will take care of you. And
good, but that actually isn't me. So I don't know who that one is. They probably won't send you a shirt, though.
What did I just call it? I swear to God, that's your Twitter. Okay, it's just at Brian Beto. Why did I say B_Beto? Where do you have that somewhere? Never mind. Brian, BEDO. Jordan, do you have an underscore in there, Jordan?
No underscores.
No underscores. Must be a dream.
It might underscore your lack of knowledge of our team.
It would underscore that for sure. You have a great picture on your Twitter, Jordan. You look very professional. I like it. And you've got, I believe that is the World Series trophy that you're smiling and cheesing.
I do.
It's beautiful. All right, gentlemen, we'll see you next week. Say goodbye.
Later. Bye.
The lights are on at Wrigley Field, and the Cubs have turned on Chicago. They're leading the Mets right now, 6-2, as we go to the 8th inning. Two out, a run over. The Cubs have scored a run in each of the last 3 innings. There goes Dunston. Big chopper into the hole. Base hit to left field. In comes Jackson, Dunston to third, 4-2 Chicago.
This program was recorded on tape for a live audience.
There's a ground ball up the middle. Backman can't get it. The run is over. Sandberg goes to third. 5-2 Chicago. And Dawson at the plate with a 1-2 count. Breaking ball line to center, base hit. Sandberg scores. Grace will draw a throw from Dykstra, and down to second goes Dawson.
Thank you.